It's hard, look up here, it's hard to impart wisdom to stupid people. Let me say that again. It's hard to impart wisdom to stupid people. Hashtag epic. Hashtag fortune cookie. Hashtag, well, that's a little harsh. But it's true. In foolish or lazy or arrogant people, it's difficult to impart wisdom. Godly wisdom. But we're after being authentic, right? We're after being the real thing. And so authentic wisdom is, wait for it, godly wisdom. Find it. Next to your title, just write, find it. As parents spend a lifetime imparting wisdom into their children. In fact, sometimes I wish we could have movies of our life and the foolishness that we did, and then just like, no, sit down here and watch this and watch me fail. But you know, there's things about boys, right? They get a certain age. And there's things about girls. And they just don't want to hear it. But parents, we must ensure that authentic wisdom is godly wisdom. And I get a sense from Solomon as he is writing. He's writing to his son or sons. He says several times, chapter 2 verse 1, chapter 3 verse 1, chapter 4 verse 1, chapter 5 verse 1, chapter 6 verse 1, chapter 7 verse 1. He says, son, my son, if. And he's trying to impart godly wisdom. It's a great treasure. It's worth finding. It's hard to impart wisdom to stupid people. We must go after it. In the 1800s, and I'm trying to do the math in my head, I think it was 1891. It's a long time ago. I wasn't alive. Maybe some were. I don't know. This row back here keeps spilling the coffee. 1891. No, not you. There was a man named Howard Clark. Howard Clark convinced people, especially rich people in England, that there was an undiscovered treasure hidden in the desert, and it was a king's tomb. And he had such passion, people got on board. Howard Carter searched the desert for 30 years for what would he knew to be Ramses VI tomb, or as we know him, King Tut. He lost all of his sponsors but one, and he convinced his sponsor, please, just a little bit more. 30 years, searching, searching, searching. 5 more years went by, and in 1922, seeing just something off to the rubble of another tomb, he explored and found a staircase that led to the tomb of King Tutankhamun. And it became the greatest discovery in the history of the tombs of Egypt. I have a couple pictures here and the slides. He found this stairway and entered, and in it was chariots. And in the back was a tomb that had 3 coffins in it. The last coffin, I think we have a picture of that coffin, was made of solid gold. It is now on display around the world, different parts and at different times. For 3,000 years, this tomb had sat undiscovered. Why did he find it? He had a strong belief that he knew it was there. Now, our goal today, in today's message, is to find godly wisdom, because it's a key to godly life. So let me say that again. Our goal today is to find godly wisdom because it is a key to godly life. And so let's start here. Let's start with the word wisdom itself. Wisdom itself is the Hebrew word that I have up on the screen there.
Maybe.
H-O-K-M-A, and it's got a little chevron above it. It means one who is skilled in their work. It's a carpenter. It's a metal worker. It's a laborer. In fact, in Exodus 35 and 36, the Lord was talking about building of the tabernacle, and he was putting wisdom into the mind of certain people so that they could better understand how the Lord wanted this to be built. He would give great craftsmen wisdom to build something that was worthwhile for his kingdom. And we see here that to be wise in the context of Proverbs is not necessarily about one skilled in their labor, one who was a great businessman, one who was a great teacher, one who had wisdom in carpentry, one who had wisdom in metalwork, one who had wisdom in digging in the earth to discover hidden treasures. That's not what Proverbs is talking about as wisdom. What Proverbs is talking about is godly wisdom. And so how do we get godly wisdom? Well, let me ask you a question. How do you become good at what you do? Right. How do you become skilled at a labor? How does our worship team play their instruments so well? Because they practiced at one point. How do professionals become so good? Because they practiced every day to get to a certain point. How do you become skilled at knowing God? Daily seeking Him. I wrote down a couple things. Knowing that God is the source of all wisdom, because God Himself is wisdom. So the first question is, do you know Him? I know God, I know God. He's the guy upstairs, He made the earth. No, that's not knowing Him, that's knowing about Him. Do you know Him? The God that we sang about this morning. How great He is, how gracious He is, how awesome He is in His tender, loving kindness towards us. How much His grace has been imparted to us. You can know Him today. You can know Him right now. You could seek Him out right now by just asking Him, God, reveal Yourself to me. And He'll reveal Himself through Jesus Christ, through His Word. Do you know Him? Another thing about seeking God is God desires us to be wise. He wrote this book of Proverbs, and there's other wisdom literature in here. Proverbs, Psalms, Job, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, all wisdom literature, right? And we discussed the Song of Solomon for 2 months, and the importance of the Song of Solomon is like, get to know your spouse better. Be wise in knowing your spouse. But how do we get to know God better? He wants us all to be daily with Him. So are you daily in prayer? And I'm not talking about like the mealtime. I'm not talking about like, God help me because I'm having this moment of crisis. Though those are important. I'm more talking about just quiet time with Him. On that ride to work. On that walk by the beach. On that vacation. On that stressful time in the home. On the everybody's asleep and I have 5 minutes to myself moment. What can I do? I want to seek wisdom. And God tells us where to start. Last week we looked at where to start. Do you remember? The fear of the Lord is the beginning, the chief place to start for what? Wisdom. Psalms 9, Psalms 1, 7. But there's another passage, there's another man who was before Solomon who wrote something that I think deeply impacted Solomon. And his name was Job. And do you remember the story of Job? Job was one of the richest men in the world at the time. Job predates, some say, Abraham, but clearly predates Solomon. Job had everything. And the Lord said to Lucifer, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And one of the scariest verses in the Bible, Lucifer said, "Yes, I have." And God released the opportunity for Job to mess with his family. See, he had coverage over him. His children were gone. His cattle were gone. His lands were burned. The only thing that remained was his wife. And he went through a series of trials with his three best buds who really didn't know much about the Lord, as we find out. And he comes down in chapter 28, and they're just saying, "You're not a wise man." And he says in chapter 28, "Where does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all the living and concealed from the birds of the air. God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. For he looked to the ends of the earth to see everything under the heavens when he gave it to the wind its weight, appropriation of the waters its measure, when he decreed the rain and the way of lightning and thunder. And then he saw it and he declared it and he established it and he searched it out. And he said to man," now listen, "behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding." What we need to know about wisdom is this. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Wisdom continues with my turning from evil. Wisdom continues by me trusting God. And wisdom finds a place by me listening to his call. I think about that turning away from evil, and the book of Proverbs, that before we get any much further, I'm just convinced that the writer of the old time comics, you know, the old, we used to watch them, some used to go to the movie theater and they would have a little Bugs Bunny reel or something that would happen beforehand, but Looney Tunes was big when we were growing up, and so I used to wear around a Looney Tunes t-shirt, and it just reminded me as I was reading through Proverbs. Remember the time where the one person wants to do something and then two little angels popped on the shoulders? And one was good and one was bad, and one was telling him one thing and one was telling him another, and one was trying to pull him this way and one was trying to pull him this way. And as you look at the book of Proverbs, you see two little characters, wisdom and the fool. Which one are you going to hear? And that's what Solomon is saying now to the people. You've got a choice here, wisdom or foolishness. Which one are you going to hear? "Well, I can't be wise because I'm not very smart." Well, hear what Solomon writes about wisdom. Good news. Okay? Good news. Everybody ready for good news? Say, "We're ready." Here it comes. Wisdom is available to all. Wisdom is. You may be thinking, "I'm not that guy. I'm not that smart. I'm not that person." Listen, wisdom is available to you. You do not have to be a fool. Well, how? I need chapter and verse, all right? The call of wisdom, verse 20. Notice, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market she raises her voice. And at the head of the noisy street she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate she speaks out. A couple things here. A couple things we need to notice. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. Under that verse I wrote in my Bible, street preacher. Anybody ever seen a street preacher? Right? And they're just, they're there and they got the word and they're preaching the word and they're like, anybody and everybody who comes by is available to hear the word of the Lord. And she is crying out in the street. But not just there, in the marketplace. Not just a question, in the last month. How many of you went to the market Come on, raise your hand. How many? Okay, right? So this is a place not just like,
well, I wasn't in the street, so I didn't get to hear wisdom.
Well, you went to the market. Like in those days, people went to the market. It's still available. And then she takes it in and turns it a little bit more direct when she says this. At the head of the noisy street, I cried out. From Times Square to Wheeling Avenue. Noisy streets. But wisdom is there. And you know, when I thought about that, I thought, Times Square, there's a lot of people there. I've never been to New York City. I've been to the airport. I've driven over one of the bridges. I've seen it from a distance. I've seen it from an airplane. I've seen it on television. But I do know that street's pretty busy. But I've walked Wheeling Avenue, and it's a noisy street. And wisdom is there. But next, notice the other place that wisdom is. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. Yeah, I don't get that. Correct. We don't have gates. Right? We don't. But in those days, city gates were important. And once the city gates were open, those that had ruling authority, those that were heads of households, would spend moments sitting at the city gates making policy, judging people, being rulers. Wisdom is available to all kinds of people here. The ones that are just in the marketplace, the ones that are in the big cities, the ones that are in the little cities, the ones that are in the place of power, the ones that are ruling. Wisdom is available to all. And I don't want you to sit here and go, I can't get wisdom because I'm not one of those people. No, you're one of those people that she is crying out to. She cries, it's available to everyone. Everybody say amen. Amen. Everybody say, that's me. Come on, say it. The good news is wisdom is screaming to you. How does wisdom talk in a noisy street? What happens when you get a bunch of men together and they want to just keep sharing about stuff? It's like over talk time. Yeah, but. And ladies, I see the smiling face. You do the same thing too. But in a place of power like that, how does wisdom have to talk? Over all the noise. So it's not like she's just being quiet. She's saying, I'm available to the king, the priest, the people. Come and be skilled in my knowledge, the knowledge of God. And be changed. Authentic wisdom is godly wisdom. Find it. Find godly wisdom because it leads to a godly life. And the good news is wisdom is available to all. Well, Nate, you've been calling it her. You've been calling it she. I'm not sure that's, what's that about? Is it an actual person? Great theoretical things in the Bible are cast in the feminine. Love, wisdom. Okay? Guys, be okay with that. That's what God calls it. Ladies, don't think too much of it. Because they're not talking about you yet. Wisdom, a lot of what happens with wisdom is explained in Psalms or Proverbs chapter 8. And you can look at that on your own. But just understand, it's an attribute of God. Just like love is an attribute of God. It's called in the feminine, even in Proverbs chapter 8. It's okay. It's something that was there before the foundations of the world. It's something that was active in creation. It's something that right now draws us to a better understanding of who God is. And it is something that we need to have in our life. So what do we know so far? Wisdom and foolishness call to us every day. Maybe every hour. Maybe every half an hour. Maybe even as you're sitting here right now. Wisdom and foolishness are placed before you. You have to choose. Wisdom means the skilled knowledge of God. Being skilled in the knowledge of our Creator. And wisdom is calling out to us to find her. And wisdom, we know this. Wisdom, godly wisdom, begins with the fear of the Lord. In fact, Step one to wisdom, and only step one, the fear of the Lord. Job 28:28. The fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom. To fear his judgment, and so much so that it leads you to a place of salvation. Do you know, listen, do you know that a righteous judge will judge you one day? And the fear of the Lord is like, I look at my sinfulness and I look at how I have offended God and I need a remedy and there isn't a remedy. And next week when Jeremiah begins to talk on redemption, you're going to understand this a little bit more. But the fear of the Lord is like, this righteous judge is going to deal with me. Now the good news is, he dealt with you at the cross for those of you that are believers. It was effective for all, but the ones that believed, we have a different view of the fear of the Lord now. We don't fear judgment. Our sin has been placed on him. We fear failing him. We fear not respecting him. We fear disappointing him because of our sins, and we repent. We're called to repent. We fear not being able to share his message because our life has lived in such a way that I didn't fear the Lord and people don't respect me now. And the good news is all are welcome. The danger, the warning, begins in verse 22. For the rest of our time, I only have a couple more points we want to look at from verse 22 all the way to chapter 2, verse 14, 15, somewhere in there. Okay? There is a warning for those that are like, I just don't want it, Nate. It sounds too complicated. It sounds too difficult. I just don't want it. Warning, danger, danger. Choose wisely. I want you to notice in verse 22 it says, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? Well, maybe that's me. I think I'm a simple one. How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? I hope that's not you. And fools hate knowledge. Notice three groups of people here. Much like Proverbs or Psalms chapter 1, remember? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scoffer. He again gives three here. Wisdom says, I love those who love me and those who delight to seek me. Wisdom says, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from God. That's what wisdom says. But notice the simple one here. What does that mean, Nate? Am I a simple one? Well, a simple one is gullible. One of the things I like to do is you're laughing, I know why. One of the things I like to do, though, is I walk by children and I say, you dropped your pockets. Now, what's wrong with that? They can't. They're attached, right? Right? So if I say it to you, don't look down. If I say gullible's not in the dictionary, don't go look it up. Okay? If it say it's written on the ceiling, don't look up. That's a simple one. It's actually someone who's simple-minded. Are you simple-minded? It means someone who is naive or ignorant. But, teachable. I like the simple one because they're teachable. The next it goes on, and we're going to kind of look at this as a downward spiral of a staircase. All right? You start at the simple one and you stay there, you're going to end up the fool. Now listen to what Proverbs says about the fool, and we'll come back to the fool coming up in weeks to come after Easter. The Bible says this about a fool. Leave the presence of a fool, for those, for there you meet no words of knowledge. The Bible says rebuke to a fool is like, the Bible says a rebuke goes deeper to a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. In other words, I can hit a fool 100 times and it'll be like, whatever. But I can rebuke a righteous person one time and they'll be like, all right, I got it. I like this one. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Proverbs 17:12. Do you ever meet that kind of person? And you're like, man, I don't want to talk to this person anymore. I'm just an idiot. Like, it's better for me to go over there and climb in that bear cage. They just took the cubs away than is to talk to you for any longer. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Ooh, ouch. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. I do like that verse. Let me read it again. Proverbs 18:6. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his ruin. It's not fitting for a fool to live in luxury. Every fool will be quarreling. A fool. There's lots more that Proverbs says about a fool. This is the broadest group in the book. It's ones who reject knowledge. It's ones who hate it. It's ones who are thick-headed, proud, and smug. Have you ever met anybody like that? No poking your husband, ladies? I had a nickname because I was this way. My name was Bullhead. You don't have to call me that now, all right? I have Jesus. But before Jesus, I was Bullhead. Because I was so bullheaded. I was so driven to do the wrong thing. I was a fool. You ever been like that? The last group is the scoffer. The scoffer is jaded and arrogant and mockers of wisdom. They're the ones that sit in the seat of the scoffer with the wicked, the sinner. So there's three groups that wisdom is crying out here, and we're going to find ourselves in one of those groups. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you're in one of those groups. If you haven't trusted in the ultimate wisdom that Colossians says, who is our wisdom, Christ, then you are a scoffer, you are a fool, or you are a simpleton. In other words, a simpleton is the idea that they close the front door, but they leave the back door open. Or they just open them both, and knowledge just goes straight on through. Notice three things here. Choose wisely. Heed her call for repentance. Notice verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you and make my words known to you. Wisdom is crying out from the street, listen, 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 listen. Hear me, hear me, hear me. You simpleton, turn. You fool, stop, turn. You scoffer, you jaded one, repent, repent. A fool rejects repentance. A scoffer mocks at the idea that I don't need to, that I'm good. The simple-minded simpleton may hear the message and may come. And wisdom says, turn at my reproof. That's repentance. Remember, we've said this again and again and again. You were headed in one direction before you came to Christ. You were headed in one direction. That was the way to hell. That was the way of the sinner. And you were headed in that direction, and the Holy Spirit reached out and drew you to a point of salvation. But in that drawing, you had to turn from your wickedness and turn towards God. And in your foolishness, you must do the same thing. Well, I don't need to be repentant. I don't need to fear the Lord. I'm good. I'm good. Don't be a fool. Heed the gracious call. That's what it is. You may not like it. In fact, you may not like what I'm saying right now. You may find yourself in one of those groups, and you may not like the fact that I'm saying, turn from that, repent from that, because it is a gracious call. Better me saying it than standing before God Almighty one day and Him saying, you didn't heed the call. So therefore, depart from me. I do not know you. real change is possible. Remember what James says, if we lack wisdom, ask of God who gives freely. James 1:5. It goes on to say this, if you turn from my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you. And if you're thinking, I just don't get it. Listen, wisdom by the power of the Holy Spirit will pour out wisdom on you and you will understand it. Real change is possible. Heed the call for repentance. Number two, avoid the danger. Notice verse 24. Because now she gets into, I've called out to you, but you have not listened. Notice what she says. I have called, verse 24, but you refused. I have stretched, but you no longer heed. You have ignored my counsel. You have none of my reproof. That's serious. Now, I read verse 26, but I wrote initially in my Bible, that seems harsh. But then I thought about Psalms 2, when it says, I will also laugh at your calamity. See, there's something that happens when we refuse calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. That's kind of harsh, Nate, this laughing. Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. I just want us to understand four ways we reject wisdom. Number one, we refuse it. We refuse it persistently. How many messages have you heard? How many times have you been to church? How many times have you heard something on the radio? But yet you continue to refuse it. Avoid the danger. Secondly, we don't pay attention to her warnings, like this warning. Or we neglect wise counsel. You ever do that? I'm stuck in a spot. Well, let me give you some ideas. Well, that's a stupid idea. I'm not doing that. You might mumble under your breath. Who's that guy I think he is? Pastor wants me to do this. I ain't doing that. And we reject wisdom's call. We reject good counsel, wise counsel. I'm not saying I'm all wise. I'm working on it. I'm not there. But there is counsel. That's why we say get in a small group, because there's wise counsel in a small group. You get with fellow believers who only have your best interest at heart. Fourthly, see, we refuse it persistently. We don't pay attention to it. We neglect wise counsel. And we reject, ultimately, her reproof. It's the escalating staircase of the hardness of heart against wisdom. And therefore, by default, against the fear of God. I had that picture, I think. The picture of that staircase, Ben. Yeah. That's what it is. I was sharing in counseling a couple of weeks ago about there's a plant in South America that the inside of the plant is blue like the blue sky. And at the bottom of the base of the plant is a sweet acid. And the pestle that comes out of the plant, it's like one of these giant plants that's got this big pestle that comes out of it, is lined with hair that only go in one direction. You ever been to like a garage where you pull over those spikes and then they pop back up, and if you try to back up, you've popped all four of your tires? Right? Well, that's the way this pestle is. And as a bug or an ant or a fly lands on this and is drawn by the sweet nature of this acid that's about to consume it, it begins to walk down the pestle. As it walks down the pestle, hair pops up, and as it tries to walk backwards, it bites them, and then it continues down because it's greater to go this direction than it is to go that direction. And next thing you know, it's consumed by this sweet acid at the bottom of the flower. And if you're here today as a fool, as a simpleton, as this harsh, sarcastic, not good for anything person in humanity, you're on the same kind of staircase. You're just heading down. You might be a simpleton now, but soon you'll be a fool. You might be a fool now, but soon you'll be at a point of no return. Be this hardened of heart, not able to fear the Lord. one who wisdom laughs at person. It seems harsh, right? Right? But the truth is that truth has a harsh edge. Truth does have a harsh edge. And wisdom doesn't dull it. Moody, in his commentary, wrote, "Wisdom laughs and mocks is the reflection of her inner joy and disdain. Like a mighty warrior feels in a victory over his enemies, a victory so lopsided that it is comical. And it has a comical element at the enemy's reversal of fortune." It's like Psalms 2. And this is the only thing I could think that, well, there's another thing I'll share in a minute. But Psalms 2 says, "The kings of the earth get together and I laugh at them. We don't need God," they say. And God says, "I laugh at them." Why? It's comical to think that man can say to God, "We don't need you." It's comical in the sense, you know, and I don't mean this offensively, but in our history in the 70s and 80s, we told Polak jokes about the Polish people. Do you know where that came from? The Blitzkrieg. In the 30s, when Adolf Hitler went with all his troops into Poland, and Poland came out on horseback. And the victory was so overwhelming that they became a laughingstock. And that's the idea here. That wisdom is saying, calamity is going to fall on you, and I'm just going to laugh. Because it's like, I warned you. Notice what it says in the text. "I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. Avoid the danger. Know the consequences." What are the consequences? Well, let's keep reading. "When terror strikes you like a storm, when your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you." Oh, there's a consequence right there. Terror. Terror strikes like a storm. And think about that. When you live in an old farmhouse, you hear every noise. And you hear storms. And everything shakes. And then you have those lightning things that hit so close to you. And we've been watching TV sometime, and lightning, and then boom! And we're looking at each other like, what was that? And terror will come on you like that. Like, I didn't know lightning was going to hit right now. And then boom, it hits, and thunder follows. How about that whirlwind, though, huh? Calamity comes like a whirlwind. Ever seen a tornado? Ever seen the calamity that leaves in its path? You want to be a foolish person? Calamity will come on you like a whirlwind. And distress and anguish will come upon you. "Then they will call..." Look, this is more consequence. "Then they will call upon me and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently and they will not find me." Part of this is, listen, there's going to be a time. Wisdom won't come. You have your opportunity now, simpleton. You have your opportunity now, foolish scoffer. Take it. Hear what it says. Repent. Because you don't want the consequences. Verse 30. 29, excuse me. "Because they hated knowledge," this is why it won't answer, "and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. And you would have none of my counsel, and you despised all my reproof." And I love this verse. You should circle this verse or underline it. "Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their way and be filled of their own devices." That, Christian, that should scare you. That what I'm putting into life right now, I'm going to eat of it one day. Isn't that Galatians 6, right? God is not mocked. Whatever a man does, he will see the fruit of that. Proverbs is saying that long before Paul wrote that, when it says, "You shall eat of the fruit of the way that you live. You will be filled up with your own devices." In other words, you're a fool, You're going to be filled up with being a fool. If you're a scoffer, if you're one who mocks all the time, you're going to be filled up with people that do the same thing to you. You're going to be surrounded by people just like you. Look at verse 33. It's like one last call here. But whoever listens to me dwells securely and will be at ease without the dread of disaster. I think about C.S. Lewis in the writing of the Chronicles of Narnia, when Turkish delight was so delightful. And all he could think about was Turkish delight, and Turkish delight, and Prince Edward wanted more Turkish delight until he was filled up with the fruit of that foolishness. And then it was almost too late. And wisdom says, listen to me, dwell securely. I like that thought. How many like the thought of dwelling securely? Dwell securely, be at ease without disaster. There's confidence and security and joy with right choices. Whew, that was good. I should write that down. I've got a pen. I'm going to do that right now. There's confidence, security, and joy with right choices. Choose wrongly, choose complacency, receive death. All right, Nate, well then I want to know how to mature in wisdom. All right, here we go. All you need to know to mature in wisdom from five verses in the second chapter and one statement. Here's the statement. Do the hard work. Oh. Can't it be just like I win a scratch off or something? All I had to do is use a quarter and boom, I won. No. Can't it be just like crib notes for the Christian in wisdom where I don't have to actually read the whole book? No. It's hard work. Notice what it says. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord, verse 6, gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Notice the ifs here. It's an if-then kind of thing here. If you receive my words. Sometimes it's hard to listen to the word of wisdom, isn't it? But we have to receive it. If you treasure my commandments, it's even harder. But good believers do. You ever notice, like it's really hard to listen to wisdom from your parents. But listen. You find yourself saying what they said. Did you ever like have a moment after saying something to your daughter or to your son and you're like, oh my goodness, I just sounded like insert parent's name right there. Why? You treasured their words of wisdom to you. Words we didn't treasure were, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Right? We did treasure, beat them, you will not kill them. We did treasure, I love you. We did treasure moments, actions. Receive my words, another if. Treasure my commandments, another if. Make your ear attentive. Pastor Nate, I'm just too ADD for that. Get over that part. I don't know how. I'm working on it, okay? Work with me on it. It's hard work. Do the hard work, but make your ear attentive to what the Lord has to say from his word. Incline your heart. That means imply it. Apply what God is saying now to you daily as you spend time in his word. And then call out for it. Again, James 1:5. If you lack wisdom, ask. Oh. Well, there's a brilliant idea. Oh, all right, I'm just going to ask then. How do I ask? Well, you ask God who gives freely. Oh. Raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver, where do you find silver? In the ground. I got a picture here of a silver mine. Hopefully it shows up well. Look at that. That's a tunnel. Like, right? I'm going to seek wisdom. I got to seek it like I'm seeking silver. Well, how did these people seek silver? Someone said, we're going to dig in that mountain. Why did they say that? Like, what made them think, oh, there's silver in there? And they did it, and they found it. And they found, like, 5 grams. Woo! You know what they did next? They went a little deeper, and they found a rock. It was huge. But you know what you had to do? I learned this as I was doing some research this week. You had to bring it out, and it's called the patio effect. You had to bring it out. You had to crush it on like a patio. And then you would rinse it off with certain agents. And this goes way back to like Mayan and Inca times. And they had this patio effect of, it was like hard work for silver. Silver is like the least of the metals. Right? There was gold, there was bronze, there was silver. And it was hard work. But he says, seek it like silver. That means it's hard work, people. You're not going to just like open your Bible, take your finger, go, oh, I'm going to do that. Oh, yeah. No, you got to work at it. You got to get up early. What? Yeah. You got to set aside a place in your house. You got to go to a place in a restaurant quietly by yourself without distraction. You got to get those Beats earphones that block everybody out. You got to get on your knees and you got to say, God, I need wisdom. Notice it says, if you treasure it, if you search for it like hidden treasure. Right? I think I have a slide for that. Yeah. Like, what's it take for treasure, right? Treasure map. It took somebody going to a secret place. It took somebody walking like, right down 6 steps. Now we're going to take a left turn. I had a humorous thought as I was just doing that. What if they were dyslexic? 2, 3. Now we're going to take a right turn. Oh, wait, that was left. Oh. Finding a treasure is difficult. But think what Jesus said. If a man finds a treasure, what does he do? He sells everything that he has. What? Yeah. And he buys that piece of land, so he has this great treasure. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's difficult work. The ifs. Seek it like silver. Seek it like hidden treasure. This guy, remember the story at the beginning? 35 years searching for a treasure he knew was there. It was hard work, but it was worth it. Notice verse 5, then. Got a bunch of ifs here. If, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And why is that important? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And you will find the knowledge of God. 8 verbs. Seeing, hearing, applying, seeking, searching, calling out, treasuring the things of God. You want to be wise in biblical things? We want to be wise in God's eyes? It's hard work. It's doable, but it's hard work. Wisdom equals ears ready to hear the truth, hearts willing to accept the truth, attitudes humble to receive the truth, life that treasures up what God treasures up, His Word, salvation, and Jesus. Let me say that again. Wisdom equals ears that are ready to hear the truth. Are you ready? Do you want to hear the truth? On your shoulders are wisdom and foolishness. What are you listening to? Wisdom equals a heart that is willing to accept the truth. Are you willing to accept the truth? Are you willing to accept the truth today, sinner, that there is a way to heaven through Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, who is our wisdom, who is our peace, and it comes at the cross. Wisdom equals an attitude ready to receive the truth. See, I think that's where we stumble. I want it, but I get a little prideful. I'm not humble. Wisdom is humility. Wisdom is a life that treasures what God treasures. You know what God treasures? He treasures what his son did on the cross for you by giving you eternal life for those of us that would believe, by taking his perfectness and taking on your sinfulness so that you might have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Romans says. He treasures his word. He treasures Jesus. He treasures salvation. Isn't that something? That we were so wretched, yet he treasures the one thing that brings us close to him. Wisdom's benefits explained. Don't miss out. We'll finish with this. Our worship team's coming. It narrows it down for you. Okay? Wisdom's benefits explained. Verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. Comes knowledge and understanding. Verse 7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. All right, so two things here. What God gives to the wisdom seeker. Notice what God gives to the wisdom seeker. He gives wisdom. You're seeking it? I'm going to give it to you. Let him ask God, James says, brother Jesus. Let him ask of God who gives freely to all who believe. He gives wisdom. He stores it up for us. Like I need more wisdom. Oh, yeah, no problem. Let me just turn the tap a little bit more for you. I need more wisdom in this situation, God. No problem. I've got plenty stored up just for you. Justin, I got plenty stored up just for you. You need it. Okay? He gives them righteousness. He gives them justice. He gives them equality. Notice it says, I stored up sound wisdom. Verse 10 says, or 9 says, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equality and every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Wow. 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 But also notice what wisdom protects. What God protects from the wisdom seeker. Notice that wisdom becomes a shield for those who walk in integrity. Verse 7. Notice in verse 8, it's guarding the path of justice. It's watching over the way of the saint. Notice in verse 11, discretion will watch over you. It will understand. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from the men of perverted speech. It goes into a couple. It's the women of perversion and the men of perverted speech. The ones who walk in darkness, the ones who rejoice in evil, the ones who have perverseness of evil, the ones whose paths are crooked, that's who he's watching over you from. And so like it's, you got wisdom over here, you got fool over here, and you're just like, bing, I'm not that anymore. And so much so that wisdom is now going to help me from returning back to that kind of life. It's going to guard over me. It's going to watch me. Delivering me from evil, the forbidden woman, the adulterous woman, the loving of evil, the forsaking of the path of unrighteousness. Here's the deal. We'll finish with this. Be a wisdom seeker. Be a wisdom seeker. Begins with the fear of the Lord. And I guess that just leads to the question. We sing this song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You find yourself in one of two points at this moment. You're either a sinner or a saint. A saint doesn't make you perfect. It just means that God's working his wisdom out in you. A sinner is one who was the wretch that song talked about. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, you are in Christ. Listen, believer, this is a great verse. You are in Christ who became to us the wisdom of God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Romans says that we might know the depths of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. If you're a wisdom seeker, you first have to be saved. True wisdom, authentic wisdom, is godly wisdom. And godly wisdom only comes to those who know Jesus Christ. Apart from that, they're a fool. And if that's you here this morning, I'm sorry that you might be offended that I called you a fool. I'm just calling you what the Scripture calls you. Because you have arrogantly turned your life away from God. You have arrogantly said, I don't need him. And I'm saying to you today, the consequences will come like a whirlwind. The consequences will come like a storm. And at one point, you will be like, I don't know where this came from. What do I need? God, help me. And I pray it will not be too late. Today, it doesn't have to be too late. Today, he will show you the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God if you just cry out to him and come to him for salvation. Secondly, if you've done that, keep seeking him at church, at home, and at play. Colossians says this, chapter 2. I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and those at Laodicea, and for all that have not seen me face to face, that in the hearts may be encouraged and knit together in love, reach all the riches of the fullness of the understanding and knowledge of God, which is in Christ, in whom all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge are. I say this in order that no one may delude you of plausible arguments. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. And how does he say to walk, you wisdom seekers? Here it is. Rooted and built up in the faith, established as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That's your call. Seek wisdom. Wisdom equals ears ready to hear, hearts ready to accept, attitudes humble to receive, and a life that treasures what God treasures. You have before you now today wisdom and folly. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for giving us good understanding of who you are, that you are the embodiment of wisdom, that people heard you speak and marveled at your words, marveled at your understanding. Noticed you at the age of 12 in the temple, full of wisdom. Of course, why not? You are the Son of God. Why wouldn't you be? God, we are not a people like you. We are a broken, angry, frustrated, hateful, disputive, prideful people. We seek our own ways over your ways. And we have learned this morning that we are not to do that. We are to grow in wisdom. If we become this simpleton who loves wickedness, and we become this fool who embraces it, then we will become a scoffer. And over in Proverbs and in Psalms and in Ecclesiastes and Job, the scoffer is one hated by you. We don't want that. So God, help us to embrace the truth of the gospel today, that Jesus died so that we might have wisdom. Jesus died so that, as James says, if we lacked wisdom, we can ask. And we know that that comes with the price. The price was the cross. Our response was believing and turning and coming to you by faith. And so, God, I pray if there's anybody who's not done that here today, that you would open their ears right now in this moment, that they would hear it, that this is the truth of the gospel. That there is a God who loved me so much that he gave his only Son that I might have eternal life. And if the scripture says we confess our sins, you're faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And God, we need that. And so if there's anyone here today, God, that does not know you in this moment, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I beg of you, save them. For the rest of us, God, who have been walking the way of the fool, walking the way of the simpleton, change our hearts, we pray. In the matchless name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. We'll have the front open if you want to come for prayer, if you want to just come and kneel, we can have someone pray with you. If you want to come and talk more about salvation, we have those that are ready to talk to you about that. We don't want you to be embarrassed, but this is the most important decision you can make in your life right now. And so don't be afraid to come. The rest of us, we're going to sing. We're going to be thinking about what does it mean for me to be a person of wisdom? Because I know in a couple weeks, Pastor Nate's going to dwell on that foolish part, and I got to be better than that. All right? So let's stand, let's sing. Again, if you want to come and pray, please do so.